Hi, this is John Bartlett, co-host of the Shofar Ministries Hour, and I want to tell you about Mullet Masonry. Working with either brick, block, or stone, their work is impeccable, earning them a great reputation. They service residential, like chimneys and restorations, as well as the bigger commercial-type jobs. They're located in Geauga County, but will service any of the surrounding areas. They're experienced, they do great work, they're affordable, and they're very nice as well. Need a free estimate? Call Chad Mullet at 216-570-0177. That's 570-0177. Give them a try next time you need any facet of masonry work. After all, Mullet Masonry helps to keep Shofar Ministries on the air. So be sure to tell Chad you heard about him right here on WHKW Christian Radio. Shabbat Shalom, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries Hour, live on Christian Radio, 1220 AM, as well as the World Wide Web, WHKWradio.com. My name is John Bartlett, your co-host today, with our Bible teacher, Sheila Crawford. And you can listen again to this show later this week at shofarministries.net. Before we get going, let's open with a prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for this beautiful sunshine, and we thank you for all our listeners. We thank you for the answered prayers that you've given us and for blessing us. And thank you for America, because we live in a blessed and free land. Father, I want to ask you to open our ears and our eyes so that we can hear and understand what you were saying to us from your word clearly today. We lift up all those who have sent in their prayer requests. We've noticed this week there has been an unusual amount of salvation requests. Father, in the name of Jesus, please honor these requests. Most of them were for loved ones. So, in the name of Jesus, our Messiah, we pray. Amen.
Amen. And Baruch Atah Hashem Adonai. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Thank you, John, and Shabbat Shalom to you today.
Right back at you.
Okay. Today we're going to start discussing a very hot topic, and it stirs up a lot of people, both pro and con.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And that is,
when is the rapture? Before or during or after the tribulation?
That's a great question, John.
I know. Many people are asking that right now.
That's what we're going to start talking about for the next few weeks.
Okay, yes, and it's an important topic. But first, let us remind you of our calendar webpage, which is shofarministries.net, where all of our events are posted. And you can also ask your biblical questions by email there. Just email to Sheila at shofarministries.net, or you can call Sheila as well and leave a detailed message. She'll be happy to get back to you. And we'll be opening up the phone lines later in this hour for your end time questions or comments about today's program, any that you might have.
And I want to make sure that people know that tonight, April 11th, we will be at the Full Gospel Church in Newberry, and the address is 14156.
14156.
View Road, like V-I-E-W. Mm-hmm. In case you have GPS. But if you don't, it's off Elm Street, which is off Route 87. And it's just east of Auburn.
Okay. In Newberry.
At 6 p.m.
At 6 p.m.
And I hope you'll come out and join us.
Yeah, please do. Please do.
All right. Let's talk a little bit about the news. Okay. Jerusalem is, again, still a big topic and probably will be now for till Jesus returns for us.
Yes.
And it's not only in the news, but has become that stumbling stone that Zechariah 12 predicted that we talked about last week over 2,500 years ago. It's amazing because even 100 years ago, Jerusalem was not that important to anybody.
That's right.
And now it is. And mm-hmm. It's the main crux. and the main topic as to why they can't seem to get this peace agreement. Everybody wants Jerusalem.
Stumbling stone is right. It is a huge stone.
That's right.
It figures in so prominently.
And Zechariah also talks that it will be at the very end of time. He uses the phrase, in that day, all through his letter.
Right.
You know? So, if that's the case, and in that day doesn't start until we're out of here, how close can we be? Right at the door.
Amen.
Right at the door.
Yes, we're right at the door.
So Israel wants to continue building in Jerusalem, and the world, as well as, of course, our new administration, says, no, don't think so. All the nations seem to be against Israel right now. Even Turkey used to be their allies. They used to get along really well and share water together and all that. Even Turkey's turned on them now and is joining the Arabs. But again, Zechariah predicted that all the nations would go against Israel. But the ones that particularly have a closer part in it, like the American, are going to be destroyed because of it, I believe, at some point in time.
At some point in time. But, you know, America has not been popular in the years in the world. And so goes in Israel as it goes in America a lot of times.
Yeah, but we've always been Israel's ally.
Right.
And like we said last week, and I hate to be repetitive, but is the major topic here. And
I know. I want to believe this is just a little spat, but
no,
it looks like it might be more than that, huh?
And here's even more. In an unprecedented move, the United States has been conducting negotiations with Israel VIPs on behalf of the Palestinian Authority without their presence. So, in other words, the United States is assuming all Palestinian positions and bargaining with Israel from the Palestinian side.
This does not look good.
The leaders in the PA are exuberant and are saying they are indeed pleased with the position taken by the Obama administration.
Well, it reminds me of what we say from Genesis 12:3.
Right.
What God told Abraham, I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse.
Right. And wouldn't you say it's a curse when you're telling a country as small as Israel to give up more land?
Yes.
And to stop building? You can't build houses for your people?
I know.
That's a curse.
And you know what? Every time we do that, it seems like a reciprocating thing happens here where we lose housing.
Yeah. It's something that matches, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
So, what do you think we're seeing?
Like I said, I was hoping it was just a spat, but I think we're beginning to see something far more sinister than that.
And it is fulfilling prophecy, though, but we are beginning to see the demise of America as a superpower. We're also seeing the rise of Europe, which is necessary to fast forward to a global one-world government and a one-world religion, as Revelation says will happen, which is why the rapture is a necessity.
Right.
Think about it. Born-again Christians would never accept the dogma that there's many ways to heaven. We would never do that because we know there's only one way. But that is what the one-world religion will say. That all roads lead to God. And I got to tell you, unless God slows it down for his purposes and his timing, Bible prophecy of the end time events is going to continue and with acceleration.
Yes.
But remember, never let a crisis go to waste. Isn't that what they say?
Yes.
So what does that mean to us? Of course, we need to utilize this time wisely to expand the kingdom.
In other words, it's a good time to witness because
Absolutely.
A lot of people are concerned. A lot of people are a little worried about where everything is heading these days.
And what you need to do is to pray and ask God to show you those people and to give you the wording and the power at the time to meet each person at their different need level and tell them how Jesus can help them.
Yes. And his outstretched arm of salvation is still stretched out to those whom he loves and chosen and called. And we don't know who they are, but God does. And the way to find them is to tell them about Jesus.
That's right.
And leave them a tract
or
whatever.
If for no other reason.
Yes.
So you don't go to hell.
Right.
You know, I'm not saying that he makes everyone's life so rosy and I'm not for the prosperity gospel and all that stuff, but I got to tell you something. I trust in Jesus, and he gets me through the hard times and makes the better times even better.
Yeah. Getting saved is not a guarantee that you're never going to have another trouble in your life. Sometimes
Correct.
You get more trouble.
Well, that's true.
But you
but
need
it
to meet
matter.
You need to meet the God who created the heavens and the earth, and you meet him through his way that he has provided for it, and that is through the Son, the Messiah, and you ask him to enter your heart and renew your heart and start serving him. He will do the rest. Trust
yeah.
me.
Not even renew it. Actually, he says he'll give us a new heart.
Give you a brand new heart.
Yeah.
A heart that will want to serve God and pursue God.
Amen.
Amen.
So, let me ask you a question, John.
Sure. That's what I'm here for.
You know that I've been studying prophecy for the last 20-some years.
Mm-hmm.
Intently.
Yes.
I happen to love it.
Yes.
But people ask me all the time, why do you study prophecy? My pastor never talks about it.
Well, I know why you're not. I know why you. One reason why you're not studying prophecy is you're not trying to get an edge on the stock market or anything like that. You really have this real love of prophecy.
Bible prophecy.
Bible prophecy. Yes.
Yes, and not only that, the Scripture tells us to study prophecy.
Tells us to.
He tells us to.
Oh.
In Revelation 1:3.
Mm-hmm.
And he also, on top of that, offers a special blessing to those who do.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's pretty cool. And Revelation is the only book out of all of them. There's 66 books. But Revelation is the only book that has that special blessing attached to it.
That
if
is.
You study it and understand it.
Right.
And it's not just once.
Hmm.
It's there again. At the end.
At the end.
Chapter 22 says it over.
Repeats it.
When repeats it, that's important.
Well, that's pretty clear. So that's some very good reasons to study prophecy, because the Bible says you will be blessed if you do.
Well, really, the whole Bible is prophetic as far as I'm concerned if you start looking at typology.
Right. And the testimony of Jesus is the spirit. The
spirit of prophecy.
Prophecy.
What Revelation says.
Yes.
Amen to that. Well, I spoke at a church 2 weeks ago.
Okay.
And a lady came up to me afterwards and handed me a paper, and she said it's been circling through the church, not just her church, some other churches, but it was on why some think that we will be here for the tribulation and deny a pre-trib rapture.
Mm-hmm.
And she gave me this paper, and I told her I would look it over and, study it and try to figure out some good answers for her. And so I thought, wouldn't it be good, because I'm sure there's a lot of people that will be listening that would like to know how to and what to say should somebody come up with one of these things on this paper.
Yes.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So I thought today we could start debunking the fact that people say, oh, no, we're going to be here for the tribulation. Let's do that this show and maybe next show and however long it takes.
Yes.
Okay.
Because I believe the first century church, they believed in the rapture.
Oh, absolutely.
And there's evidence for
There's
that.
Evidence of that. But yes. That's second. Mm-hmm. That's like the third or fourth one on this paper. So
okay. We'll get to that
We're going to take it in order here. That's what we're going to do. Okay. So again, I think we're going to start exposing what I believe from 20 plus years of studying prophecy, a definite fallacy. We will take each point that they have written here and discuss it in length so that you out there will have an answer to why you believe what you do. And if you're not sure, maybe this study will help you. Okay? So the Bible says we really need to know proper answers through the Bible for correction, for reproof, and instruction in righteousness. Instruction. And that's, of course, 2 Timothy 3:16. So, again, I'm a teacher, and I love not only telling people about what the Word of God says, but I believe to show why I've come to my final thoughts on it.
Right.
I think it's important for people to know how I got there.
I think so, too, because it wasn't, you didn't hear a voice out of the sky, and you didn't, it was hard study, and I mean, nothing replaces study and comparison and using good, what's the word for studying the Bible, the big word they have, hermeneutics, mm-hmm. using good principles of hermeneutics.
That's right.
For studying the Bible, and you stay within those, stay in those principles, and you study the Bible and let the Bible interpret the Bible, and you get, you have to correct.
Absolutely.
You know, it's not just, you can't just take Scripture. One verse and just say this is a whole doctrine, because you have to take the whole counsel of God, don't you?
Acts 20:27.
The whole counsel of
the
God.
The whole counsel of God. And yes. Unfortunately, people that don't believe in a pre-trib rapture have just taken one or two, mm-hmm. and they build on that.
Right.
And then they make a lot of conclusions or things that they think should be.
Yes.
And we can't do that.
Oh, I come to a lot of conclusions off of one verse, too, you know, and I think, but I know later I'll have to go check that out.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely. And I expect people, when I tell them, mm-hmm. to do the same thing. Check out what I say.
Yes.
Please. Because so many times, in fact, just the other day I was having lunch with a friend of mine and she had brought a friend, and we were discussing the rapture, because that seems to be what people want to talk about lately.
Mm-hmm.
And she was telling me why she didn't believe in a rapture, and then she said that somebody had quoted a certain phrase and then made a statement.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to her, well, why did he say that?
Mm-hmm.
And she didn't know why.
Right.
So I think it's important that if you're going to say something, know why you want to say it and why you are saying it and the conclusion that you came to because of the study that you've done.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So anyway, the very first thing on this list, well, first of all, the list says, did Jesus lie? Okay. So
the list actually comes with its own little attitude, doesn't
it?
Yes,
it has a little, yeah.
Yes, it does.
So it says, Jesus said he would return after the tribulation. Did he lie? So, thankfully, they've mm-hmm. given us scripture, and it's Matthew 24, verse 29. So let's
go there.
Go there.
Let's go there.
I hope you have your Bible.
It's returning after the tribulation.
That's
oh no.
Well, right away to me that seems so simple, because we know that there's two comings. We know that he's going to call us up and meet him in the air.
That's an appearing.
And then to us, mm-hmm. and then he's going to return for all eyes to see at the end.
Yeah.
So, to me, that question just seems...
It's like a no-brainer, but let's go there anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. 24. Okay, we'll start in verse 29, which is the end of the tribulation period. In fact, Matthew 24 has kind of a summary of the tribulation and what's going to happen in the middle and the abomination of desolation and all that. But down in 29, it's at the end now, and it says, immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened.
So this is immediately after.
Mm-hmm. It's immediately after, which could mean the very end.
End.
Yes.
Okay.
The sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth, which, by the way, is an idiom for the unrighteous,
okay,
will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And that is him coming.
That's right.
At the end of the tribulation.
No problem with that.
No problem with that.
And the thing about it is that we're going to be with him according to Zechariah 12, which we can go to after we finish this verse, though. Verse 31 says, and he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Okay,
well, there you go. There's his
verse.
Elect. He's gathering his elect at the end of the tribulation.
I know. That's exactly what people think, that mm-hmm. we are the only ones that are called the elect.
Oh, I see. You mean there could be others that are called the elect? You mean aren't we the elect? Aren't we the only ones?
We aren't the only ones in the history of man.
That's right.
We are now because we're the righteous.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But before us there was an elect. After us, there will be an elect. During the millennial kingdom, there will be an elect. And let's look at some of those verses, okay? The first one we want to look at, and there's a few in Isaiah, but let's look at Isaiah 45:4.
Okay. Whoever gets there first gets to read it. Now see, this answer comes from the full counsel of God.
It surely does. I got there first time.
Okay.
Isaiah 45, verse 4. For Jacob, my servant's sake, and Israel, my elect, I have even called you by your name. Talking about Cyrus, but here's the fact. Israel, my elect. So there was an elect before the bride.
Yes.
We are the elect now. I have no problem with that.
Mm-hmm.
But there will also be elect called the tribulation saints.
Mm-hmm.
Because when the rapture occurs, the tribulation saints will be the first fruits of that generation to get saved, and 144,000, and they will be the elect at that time.
Now, Elijah's group and the prophets that were persecuted under King Ahab and Jezebel, they were the elect. Mm-hmm. Elijah was very disappointed and thought he was the only one serving God, and God reminded him that there are 7,000 of you that have not bowed to the God of Baal.
That's right.
So there was an elect there, wasn't it?
Absolutely. And let's look at Isaiah 65:22, which refers to the millennial kingdom.
Now, that was a cool teaching, was Sheila's Isaiah class, which was one of her longest classes, she told me, that she ever taught.
I think we did
taught.
That for years.
I think that went on for years, but that's what got me started in this.
Yeah. Okay. We'll start in, it's in verse 22 of chapter 65, talking about the millennial kingdom and how wonderful it'll be. And it says, they shall not build in another habit. In other words, you won't work for somebody else.
That's right.
And they shall not plant and another eat.
Uh-huh.
For as the days of a tree, so shall be the days of my people. So they'll be living a long time.
Yes, they will be.
And my elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands.
Well, there's another group of elect, isn't there?
So basically, it's the righteous of each time difference, mm-hmm. Old Testament, New Testament, tribulation saints, and millennial.
In every age or era, God has his elect. And we've just seen three or four examples of that.
I think we've covered that part. Okay. Now, it says, and he will send his angels. Well, now I think it's time to look at Thessalonians.
Okay. It says he will send his angels to gather together his chosen people from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other.
Okay, let's read about the rapture in Thessalonians.
Mm-hmm.
1 Thessalonians 4.
Are you there?
I am.
Okay.
Verse 16 we're going to do.
Okay.
For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first.
Well,
then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. And therefore, comfort one another with these words. Now, I don't see anything similar.
No, these two, the verse from Matthew 24 does not relate or has not too much in common with this one, because it says he will send out his angels. It doesn't say the Lord himself. He will send out his angels.
The voice of an archangel, but this is his angels, and this is, again, the second coming, when he actually comes back to work to earth. And the angels will help gather the sheep and the goats.
That's right.
For the
goats. So that's actually the answer to why he's gathering them.
That's right.
Yes.
Right. Then we'll have the sheep and goat judgment, and the goats will go into the lake of fire, and the sheep will go into the millennial kingdom.
So that number one point on the list is it's all because of not making a distinction between the beginning of the tribulation and the end of the tribulation, and which verse applies to which.
Right, and the first one is a private going up of the bride of Christ to and meeting him in the air.
Right.
And those that have died will be up there also, and we who are alive will meet them.
That's right.
It's very, it's in the air.
Yes.
It doesn't say back to earth. But then there's another concept that I want to cover, but we're going to take a quick break.
Okay, but that's just very good. I think we've shown that. You've shown it very clearly.
Right. I'm not even done there yet.
Oh, I know.
There's more there.
That's just the first point. But yeah.
That's right. But we're going to take a break and come back and remind you that the lines will be open if you have a rapture question in particular.
Yes, yes. And those numbers you can call. And don't be afraid to interrupt us. 216-901-0933 or 888-677-WORD, 888-677-9673. Now, we cover a big area on the radio, and we would both of us would like to visit you at your church for an evening of Messianic worship and a timely message. Please ask your pastor. Ask him to give us a call at 440-834-9006. I'd also like to add that Shofar Ministries is a non-denominational 501c3. All your gifts are tax deductible, and donations are really, really needed to stay on the air. So really, folks, if you like this kind of forum with solid Bible teaching, please send your donations to P.O. Box 513 in Burton 44021, or you can give through shofarministries.net and use PayPal. And you can purchase teaching DVDs, especially on the Spring Feast, which we just did last week, for a donation of only $15. And we do need your help out there. Perhaps you'd like to help sponsor the show by advertising your company. Hey, a lot of new companies starting up these days, and radio coverage is great. Maybe you could refer someone who you know might be starting up their own business. And you can reach Sheila for details by calling her at 440-834-9006. Once again, the numbers for your end time questions, 216-901-0933 or 888-677-WORD. So stay with us now. Hey, I'm sorry I stole a little of your fire there, Sheila, but you're listening to the Shofar Ministries Hour.
You're fine.
Oh, okay. And we'll be right back after a short break and a song by yours truly called Sparrow.
Okay, so let me ask you, how many times have you ever been asked if you knew a good Christian attorney? Well, now you have an answer. A legal representative for over 35 years, Dennis Kastelak of Chardon, Ohio, has a great reputation for honesty and integrity and is now a sponsor of the Shofar Ministries Hour. So if you still need to get that will, need financial counseling, or any legal matter, give Dennis a call at 440-285-3511. That's 440-285-3511.
Every little girl has big fairy tale dreams. She wants pretty clothes and pretty shoes, charming looks, and an enchanting house. But most little girls grow up to realize that all of the trimming and frills, the designer dresses and to-die-for shoes, don't come cheap. And quality seems unattainable. But it's not really. You simply need to know where to look. This is Robin Trzynski of the Original Mattress Factory. Although we may not seem glitzy or glamorous, we do make high-quality mattresses and box springs that will give you the comfort you deserve at prices that won't hurt your pocketbook. How so? Because everything is made right here. Think of it this way. If you could buy your favorite designer heels directly from the designer instead of a department store, why wouldn't you? You could go straight to the source, avoid paying those retail store markups, and get the shoes for less. That's our concept. Get the best quality mattress that you can afford, whether a comfy plush or luxurious pillow top, and save enough to buy something you've always dreamed of. The Original Mattress Factory, on the web at originalmattress.com.
Does your basement or crawl space have a damp, musty smell? A dehumidifier may not solve your problem. That's because a dehumidifier won't expel the molds and gases that make the area unlivable. And a dehumidifier could cost you up to $60 a month in energy. But now there's an affordable way for you to remove moisture and harmful pollutants from your home. It's with the Wave Ventilation Unit. With Wave, there are no buckets to empty, no filters, and Wave could save you over $500 a year in energy costs. One customer writes, "The difference was remarkable. The air was dry and pleasant, and the allergy sufferers in the family felt better. The change was instantaneous. With Wave, you can have a dry, healthy home and save thousands, guaranteed. Find out more about Wave Moisture Control. Visit FreshDryHome.com for free information. That's FreshDryHome.com. Or call now, 1-866-324-9483. That's 1-866-324-9483.
Keep me in all of your paths, Lord, and make your ways known to me. Keep me as close as the dew is to the grass, as the sand is to the sea. Like a sparrow in the meadow, like an eagle in the sky. And when I leave this earth, O Lord, straight to you I'll fly. Like a sparrow in the meadow, like an eagle in the sky. And when I leave this earth, O Lord, straight to you I'll fly. Your word is like a fountain, and it feeds the river of life. It gives grace to all the living, and it gives me joy inside. Like a sparrow in the meadow, like an eagle in the sky. And when I see your face, O Lord, straight to you I'll fly. Make me as one of your sheep, Lord, and I'll no longer stray. And I'll feed with the flock in your pasture, and I'll do all that you say. Like a sparrow in the meadow, like an eagle in the sky. And when I leave this earth, O Lord, I won't have to die. Like a sparrow in the meadow, like an eagle in the sky. And with a mighty shout and the voice of the angel, straight to you I'll fly. And with a mighty shout and the voice of the angel, straight to you I'll fly.
Welcome back to the Shofar Ministries Hour, and that song, sung by our own John Bartlett, I have to say that was just a great song, especially for today's show. That's a rapture song if I ever heard one.
Thank you.
Great sounding. That's just wonderful.
Thank you. God definitely had his hand in the writing and the recording of that one.
Yes, he did.
Thank you, Lord, for that.
Well, you know what? I've got to ask all the listeners something. Out there, do you love children? Especially little babies? Oh, I know I do. Well, there is a lady named Beth who is a listener of this program. She is the mother of five, grandmother of three, and has recently attended the Alexandria School for Nannies, and now is certified as a newborn care specialist. And she enjoyed her education so much, she is now enrolled in their accelerated program for nannies. So if you would like to be like Beth and work with children while adding to your family's income, Call Carolyn at 440-781-7531. And of course, if you are in need of that special person to watch your precious one, the number is the same, 440-781-7531. Again, if you love children and would like to find out about the opportunities that are waiting for you as a professional nanny, call Carolyn one last time, 440-781-7531.
Professional nanny.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. There's a lot of people out there that probably need a job and want to get some training, and I know it's not real long training, so probably a great opportunity for a lot of people.
There's opportunities out there that we don't even know about. That's a great one, though.
That is. Amen. All right, and now we're going to get back to our text.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to remember that during the first century, there was what we call idioms.
Right.
Tell
right.
me what an idiom is, John.
Well, I'm gonna sound dumb if I can't think of one. But an idiom is a phrase that we use with one another, and we all know what we're talking about. But somebody from Spain that just learned English might not know what we're talking about. Like,
absolutely.
Hey, you know, we say somebody, could you hurry up with that? We'll say, hey, shake a leg, and then somebody.
Right.
From another culture that just learned English might go, why does he want him to shake his leg or
yeah.
something? But that's an idiom, and you understand it. I understand it. We have them for holidays like Thanksgiving, Turkey Day.
Right.
You know, I'll say Turkey Day.
I'll know exactly what you're talking
right,
about.
Right, right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, or someone's hanging mistletoe. Well, I'll know exactly what season it is.
Right, right.
You know, things like that. And I know there's a lot more, and neither one of us can think of anymore, but there are.
Sometimes we just can't even think, but, but most of the time we can.
Speak
right?
for yourself, John.
Oh, okay.
No, actually, I want to talk about three particular idioms that mm-hmm. were used during the first century. Okay, Paul knew what these idioms were. He mm-hmm. attended the school of Hillel. He was very smart, and he would know these expressions, and he uses them in Scripture. But what they are is three particular names for three particular shofars.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Right.
All right. There was one called the first shofar. There was one called the last shofar. And then there was one called the great shofar. Now, if you don't know what a shofar is, it's a trumpet.
Mm-hmm. And these were expressions that were used relating to a particular feast, more than one or two?
Yes.
Particular feasts. So
let's talk about that.
Okay.
And first trumpet, okay, would be given to the Feast of Pentecost.
Okay.
The reason for that is because back in Exodus 19, the first time they ever heard the shofar blown was on the mountain, when God gave them their law, and it was the first Pentecost.
Okay, so that's the first. That,
first time they ever heard a trumpet.
Became a major feast, and
God blew it.
And that's
heaven.
An idiom, God blew that shofar?
Right. And if you don't believe me, all you have to do is go into the Strong's Concordance and look up trumpet. You will see that there was no trumpet before Exodus 19. That's how you can check me out, because you know how I always say, check it out.
Check it out.
So naturally, it got the idiom, the first shofar. Mm-hmm. So then in the first century, if someone said they're getting ready to blow the first shofar, they wouldn't have to say Pentecost is coming. They would know what they were talking about.
Exactly.
Okay, so we got that. We'll set that aside. Now let's go to the next one.
Mm-hmm.
Now there's one called the last shofar. Okay. Now the reason that's associated with the anniversary of the birthday of the world, which is also called Rosh Hashanah,
mm-hmm.
okay, head of the year, is because they would blow trumpets on Rosh Hashanah 100 times.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, 30 days prior, every single day leading up to Rosh Hashanah, they would blow a trumpet.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last trumpet would be blown on Rosh Hashanah, and it was called the last trump. So everybody knew in the first century that if someone said the last trump will be blown, they were talking about Rosh Hashanah.
Rosh Hashanah.
And Rosh Hashanah would last for 2 days because they had to wait for the new moon to appear. Mm-hmm. And they were never sure if they got it right, so they would have it for 2 days. And it was for 2 days during Jesus' day.
Okay.
So if he were to say, no one knows the day or the hour, he could be referring to the Feast of Rosh Hashanah, because they would use that expression also, because no one knew the day or the hour when the first moon would
when
show up.
When you would see that sliver.
Yes.
And I think we looked this last Rosh Hashanah, and I said, look at evening time at a certain time, and you'll see that first sliver. And we missed it big time because it occurred in the morning.
Yeah. So that's why they have it for 2 days.
It was still on the same day, but it was just,
yeah.
Wow.
But what's also interesting is that it's also called the Feast of Trumpets, and for that reason. Not only do they blow a trumpet every day getting ready for Rosh Hashanah,
mm-hmm.
because it was a season of repentance, but on Rosh Hashanah they would blow another 100 trumpets. And at the last trumpet, Rosh Hashanah would be hailed in. But
okay.
So we've got the idiom, the last trumpet.
Okay, so now we have the first trumpet, or the first shofar.
Which is Pentecost.
First trumpet, and the last trumpet, which is Rosh Hashanah.
Rosh Hashanah, or Feast of Trumpets.
But now, in Matthew 24, he will send out his angels with a great shofar.
Yes.
Okay.
That's certainly not the last trumpet that Paul talks about in Corinthians, is it?
No. Is great shofar an idiom?
It is. Okay. It's actually blown particularly on a Yom Kippur, especially during a Jubilee year.
Hmm.
But it got the idiom, the great shofar, on a Yom Kippur.
So. We're not talking about the rapture in this verse. What we're talking about is
the second coming.
The second coming, or the end of the tribulation.
That's right. When we will be with him.
Okay.
Okay, and Zechariah tells us that. In fact, I'll read it for you real quick. And it's Zechariah 14. Says, thus the Lord my God will come, and all the saints with him. It shall come to pass in that day that there will be no light. The lights will diminish. Didn't we just read that in Matthew?
Yes.
It shall be one day which is known to the Lord, neither day nor night, but at evening time it shall happen, that it will be light. That's describing, again, what we just read in Matthew.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So, what am I seeing here? Well, first of all, if we go back and see 29, at the last day of the tribulation, at the very end, okay, immediately at the end of the tribulation, and the word is metatata, which means immediately, by the way.
Oh, okay.
There's no, I mean, whenever the first hour began, which would have been at the signing of the Antichrist with Israel and many others,
mm-hmm.
that treaty, at that moment, the clock would be starting.
Yes.
And then 7 years, biblical time for Israel, he will return. Exactly.
Exactly.
Okay. He knows for sure when that is.
So what does he say the evening?
Well, what's interesting is that, of course, and I taught this a few weeks ago about how there would be day and there would be, first of all, there's night. First 12 hours is night and the second 12 hours is day. But then that's split up between the morning part of the day and the evening part of the day.
Mm-hmm.
And the evening part of the day would be from the sun, from the top when it's at the highest, till it sets.
Mm-hmm.
That's the evening part of the day.
Right.
So he came right out here and he said, I'm just telling you, it'll be the evening time of the day. So it'll be between noon and 6.
Noon and 6. So
yeah.
3 o'clock.
Well, 3 o'clock's good. I mean, that seems to be a good time because so many things have happened. Like Jesus' side was pierced at 3 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
They would always have oblations or prayer at 3 o'clock facing Jerusalem.
Yeah, exactly.
They would even sacrifice at 3 o'clock. So it was an important time.
I think that's when Cornelius, the Roman centurion, that got the first one to get saved, that's recorded in the Gospels. Wasn't he observing afternoon prayers?
Yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
One of them's got.
Yeah, and even Daniel, you can read about how he would always pray at the,
the
evening oblation.
The evening, and that's the 3 o'clock.
So it's an important time. So I believe probably we will be with him when he returns on White Horses, Revelation 19.
Okay.
And it will be on a Yom Kippur, because I believe it will begin on a Yom Kippur, because that will be 10 days after Rosh Hashanah. And remember, we talked about this, especially when we talked about the spring feast, that if he fulfilled the spring feast, he's going to fulfill the fall feast as well.
Yes.
And the next one on the agenda is Rosh Hashanah.
Yes, and I believe the first century church, the early believers, from Jesus' disciples, apostles, and Paul and everybody believed and knew that Jesus had fulfilled the Feast of Passover.
Yeah,
I believe that was so. That's why they were so excited. They saw and they knew that he was going to fulfill another one.
Right.
Yes.
And I'll tell you what, I was reading some Jewish writings, commentaries, and in the olden days, and I don't know about today so much because things have changed, but at least in the first century, or shortly after when the Talmud was written, they believed that the resurrection would be on a Rosh Hashanah.
Mm-hmm.
And the resurrection is the same as the rapture if you're alive.
Right, right.
You know, so
the rapture really is just a resurrection
if
you are alive.
And I'm not the only one who thinks that now. Once you start studying Hebraic roots, you really do come to the conclusion that probably the resurrection / rapture will occur on the next feast, which is the Feast of Trumpets. And that's why Paul talks about it in Corinthians being at the last trumpet.
Well, yes. Now, back to your paper that you were given, or that thing that's circulating around the church, the churches. I would be very afraid to be teaching God's people error.
True.
I would be very scared to even circulate something like that because of that. Now,
it takes away their hope. I mean, I know a lot of people say, oh, I'm just an escapist, but Jesus himself said, pray that you can escape all these things when he just got through talking about the tribulation.
Pray that you can escape. He wanted us maybe, is that being an escapist?
Yeah, I mean,
like
said to.
So, oh my goodness. I'm just in awe over this because these are the things that you learn at Shofar Assembly, is little gems like this. The verse in Matthew 24, sheet that we've been reading from that questions mm-hmm. whether Jesus is a liar or not, is actually not even talking about the rapture, but is actually
correct.
Talking about the end of the tribulation period. And we know that because we just found out that it is the last shofar, or the great shofar, which indicates Yom Kippur, and he is sending out his angels. And that's far different from with the voice of the archangel that we read in Thessalonians. So
that's
it's very
right.
clear, very clear.
So let's just read the scriptures again now with our thoughts and
okay.
gear. And so that if you're out there listening, it'll make a lot more sense to you now.
Okay.
Again, Matthew 24 is talking about the beginning of the tribulation, goes through. Verse 15 is the middle of the tribulation. He explains the abomination of desolation. And he knows that people would understand it because it had already happened to them 400 years prior.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so they heard the stories with Antiochus Epiphanes, so they knew what an abomination of desolation would be.
Exactly.
And then he goes on and says, pray that you your flight is not in the Sabbath. Okay, why? Because he's talking to Jewish people. It goes back to Jewish time.
Mm-hmm.
The
right.
church is not here now for that. We wouldn't be, if the Antichrist was chasing me, I wouldn't bother to be running on the Sabbath. But they're going to go right back to the way it used to be before mm-hmm. we came. Before
Amen.
The church was ever birthed. And then he goes on, and here we go. At the very end, immediately at the end or after the tribulation of those days, again, just what we read in Zechariah, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, the stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Whew! Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth, again, those are the unrighteous, will mourn. Because it'll be too late, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory, and the bride of Christ will be with him. And he will send now his angels with the great trumpet, great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect. Those are the saved during the tribulation period
mm-hmm.
from all over the place, and that's when they will go in for the judgment of the sheep and the goats. And that separation,
mm-hmm.
okay, the wheat from the tares, if you want to get even more detailed.
And there's a wedding reception, too, they're going to go to.
Yeah, and we're going to continue this conversation. We'll start with the second one next week.
And more questions, and we're going to get to my favorite question, was why before on the night of the night before Jesus' trip to the cross or his crucifixion, that he told us he prayed to the Father in heaven that his disciples should not escape, not be taken out of the world, but to be protected from the evil one. And I think I know the answer to that one, and that's what a lot of people are saying too. And why would Jesus have prayed that? But we'll get to that one too.
Yes, we will eventually. We will. So anyway, come on back next time and tell your friends. Mm-hmm. Tell them that we're going to be on, especially those that think that we're going through the tribulation. Please tell them to listen.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, and call in when you get a question. If you have any questions and you'd like Sheila to speak at your church or your home group, just email her at sheila@shofarministries.net. So, any and all of your donations are extremely important and vital to this Hebraic Roots ministry. Please consider being a partner in this endeavor. Use PayPal or send your gift to Shofar Ministries, Box 513, Burton, Ohio 44021. All donations automatically get you on the monthly newsletter, full of gold nuggets and current events from these last days here and in Israel. And why not check out the webpage? There's newsletters, and all our previous shows are archived there, thanks to Lou Buckles.
And they're all free.
Hey, they're
Take
all
Take advantage of these teachings.
Yes, and a great study for beginners on DVD is called Hebraic Roots 101, Parts 1 and 2. And now the Spring Feast available on her webpage as well at shofarministries.net. Or just call Sheila at 440-834-9006. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, we're going to conclude today's broadcast with the Aaronic blessing.
Yes, it's a tradition for our show.
It's a tradition for our show.
Number 622 through 27.
Very good. Yevrechacha Adonai v'yishmarecha. Yair Adonai panav elecha vihunecha. Yisa Adonai panav elecha v'yasem lecha shalom.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Shalom. Until next week, Sha'alu Shalom, Yerushalem. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Those who love her shall prosper.
Not maybe.
Amen. Shall. Come on back next week.
Thanks for spending your hour with Sheila Crawford and the Shofar Ministries broadcast on AM 1220 The Word. If you would like to help keep the show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click on the donate button on the right-hand side of the screen, and it'll take you to PayPal's secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments you have about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, sheila@shofarministries.net. That's sheila@shofarministries.net. Please join us next Saturday at 1 p.m. for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program is sponsored by Shofar Ministries.